I offer no apologies. I will give you an explanation. That first chapter is just loaded with information and things that have to do with the rest of the book. And Paul said an awful lot in that first chapter, and so that's the reasoning I'm spending so much time. I'm probably going to be accused of being John James in the book of Galatians before it's over, but nevertheless, that's the reason. Romans 1:13 through 17a. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft time I proposed to come unto you, but was not let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein what? Therein the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So when you look at verse 17, you're talking about what is revealed in the gospel, in the good news, in the story, the account that is given of what Jesus did, is doing, and shall do to forever secure our position in heaven by the power of God and not by anything we could ever do or ever hope to do. When in verse 17 it says, for therein means in the gospel, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. It means revealed, exposed. You can see it. It's understandable. It makes its appearance known. You can say, aha, there it is. I see the righteousness of God. It's manifested. I can observe it. I can understand it. I can comprehend it. It's all there in the good news, in the gospel. Let's talk about that. Number one, it is said to be revealed without the law. And John, don't you think this is going to be 3 points, a poem in a cloud of dust and high old silver away? I got more than 3 points here. Number one, talking about the gospel. It is said to be revealed without the law. Now that's very significant, because that means if the gospel can be manifested, can be seen, can be understood, can be comprehended, without anything having to do with thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, if you can see the good news, and it has nothing to do with the law, the commandments that God gave, brother, sister, friend, that's good news, because the impossibility of keeping God's standard of righteousness is not only stated plainly in the Word, but in our everyday practice of life when we try to keep it and fall short every day. Romans 3:21-22. So when we talk about the righteousness of God being manifested in the gospel, in Romans 3:21-22, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, made visible, made plain, understandable, comprehended, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know, there's something very interesting about that. We've always had prophets. Even in the beginning, we had prophets. And of course, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, made plain, understandable, you can see it, you can comprehend it, then it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, why is that so significant? Well, it is significant for several reasons, but I'd like to show you one that people don't always think about. Does that mean that at the time of Moses, that since that was witnessed at the time of Moses and the giving of the law, that people were saved by grace in the age of the law? Absolutely. Because the righteousness of God was manifested in the promise of a Savior who was to come and deliver them. And so even in the time of the law, people were saved not by keeping the law, but by realizing their own desperation and trusting in God's promise of a Messiah to save them. But what about the prophets? If this righteousness of God was witnessed by the prophets, what does that mean? It means you go back to the very first prophets, way back there in the early beginning. It means that people at that time were saved by the same Jesus on the cross that we were saved by. They did not understand or comprehend fully because it had not been fully manifested or revealed, but they knew enough of their own condition that they were helpless and needed a Savior, and if they trusted in the promised Messiah that was promised in Genesis 3:15, that's the first prophecy, Genesis 3:15, where God indicated that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent in his power, and if they believed that God would send them a deliverer, God saved them just as surely as he saved you and I. Does that mean that when that suffering, bleeding Savior was hanging there on a cross, stretched out with nails in his hands and feet, bleeding, wounded, and dying, with the sins being laid upon him, does that mean that the prophets indicated those things about him that would save men? Saved Abraham, it saved Isaac, it saved Jacob, it saved Abel. Does that mean that this same righteousness of God and the power of God through salvation, through grace, has always been here? Absolutely. But now, when we look upon the cross, we saw it in Christ. We see it. We understand it. They didn't fully comprehend it. But you didn't have to comprehend it. You merely had to believe what God said, that he would send a promised Messiah, and you would be saved. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Do I mean to imply that all the way down through the ages, faith to faith, it has always been the same? That's exactly what I mean to imply. Now, what kind of righteousness is he talking about? Continuing in Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel, for there is no difference. Now, we're saved by grace through faith, and we have faith in Christ. But why do we have faith in Christ? Christ is the only man who ever lived who had a perfect, unflinching, undeniable faith in his Father. He never once wavered, he never once sinned, and he had a kind of faith that is beyond all understanding as far as we are concerned. When he hung alone on the cross, wounded, bleeding, and dying, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He still called him my God, even though he hung alone and bore our sins on the cross. And so the glory of the gospel is the righteousness of God that's revealed from faith to faith. And it's good news because Jesus did it all. And the righteousness of God was manifested where men could see it in the body and in the person and in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's your Savior. You ought to be willing to die for it. You ought to be willing to come to church for him. You ought to be willing to give to him. You ought to be willing to pray to him. You ought to be willing to sacrifice for him, because he sacrificed everything for you and did what none of you could do and what I nor any other man could ever do. He did it all, and that's the good news. He's come, he's done it, he's gone, and he's coming again. So let's talk about, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed in Romans 1:17. Now this righteousness of God is said to be a gift. It's not earned. In Romans 5:17 it says, for if by one man's offense, Adam's offense, the sin that Adam and Eve committed, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, death was passed upon all men, you were born spiritually dead, dead towards God, no connection with God. There had to be a restoration of a spiritual union of your soul with God, and you couldn't do it, and only God could do it, and he did it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness was manifested in that man. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. It's not earned. Praise God for that. Shall reign in life by one. Jesus Christ. You cannot reign in life unless Christ is living in you. And it is your submission to his spirit that allows him to live his life again. And you reign in life only by the power of Christ that directs you. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you talk about for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, you're talking about the righteousness of God, and we're told it's a gift. The gift of righteousness in Romans 5:17. There's nothing you can do to earn it. That's the good news about it. It's all been done. It's finished. It's a completed work. You merely have to trust in the one who did it, and in him, and him alone, and in nothing else. So talking about, for therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, it is said not to be our own. It's not ours in any way, shape, or fashion. In Romans 10:3-4, for they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and they tried to be righteous, they did all the outward things that showed righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, that they might justify themselves before God. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. What is submission to the righteousness of God? When a person comes to the point that they see themselves as totally helpless, no way out, no hope, and they fall down before God in their heart and just trust Jesus. That same thing happened to John Holbrook. Same thing happened to Bob Christie. Same thing happened to me. We just came to the point where we had no hope, and we just trusted Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. It's trusting in His faith and His life and His righteousness. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They have never come to God. They had never come to Him acknowledging their need for a Savior, for the Messiah that the law told of and that the prophets prophesied of. And then He tells you why it's so important. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everybody has an Achilles heel. Everybody. For some, it's secret. For others, it's exposed. There are sins that I have committed over and over and over again. You know, I've been critical of my brethren over and over and over and over again. There are sins that I have done so many times, you would think God would not forgive me. But John's been talking about the promise of God. God's word settled in heaven. When you talk about 1 John 1 and 9, if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God forgives me every time I ask because I'm a believer. God knows the depth of the sin in my flesh. He does not like the creature that lives in my flesh. And the creature that lives in my flesh does not like Him, because the soul drags the flesh around and makes it do things that it would rather not do. And so the flesh is enmity to God. But every believer, no matter how many times they sin, God will forgive. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair to me. That's grace. Grace is not fair, because it's manifested by love. But it's just, and it's the justifier of them which believe in Jesus, because Jesus made it fair. And when the blood trickled down the cross, and when the life was given, it became fair and just because Jesus did it all. And that's the good news that's in the gospel. What is this righteousness that is revealed in the gospel? Well, it's said to be from God by faith in Philippians 3 and 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Danny, how in the world would you go about spiritually putting yourself in Christ? Daryl, how in the world could you do that? How could any of you here perform a spiritual act of placing yourself in Christ? You don't have the foggiest idea how to do it. Nobody does. Why? We can't do it. We don't even know how. But God does it. And God does it through the faith of Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. When Christ lived that life of absolute, sheer, perfect faith, every single thing He ever did was by faith. Everything. And when God looks at me, He sees Christ. And because of what Christ did, God put me in Christ, and Christ put Himself in me. He died so that this spiritual transformation would forever be just and fair and equitable, and everyone at the final judgment, every knee would bow and acknowledge that God was right and just in everything He's ever done. And He did it all Himself. He did it in the body of a perfect man whom He formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth into this world to fulfill all righteousness. So when Jesus comes, I am going to be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Because Christ had faith, God accepted Him. And because He accepts Him, I am accepted in the Beloved, and He accepts me. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. It is plain that by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified before God. I've listened to so many people that talk about, you know, well, you can lose this, you can lose that, and you're going to hell if you do this, and you're going to hell if you do that, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. It's almost like they could justify themselves before God. No man can justify himself before God. And it is plain that by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified before God. I think this is Romans 3 and 20. Romans 3 and 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, you can honor your father and your mother. You cannot bear false witness. But if you lust in your heart one time and offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of it all. You have to maintain absolute perfection in God's standard. Jesus is the only man who ever did that, and I praise God for him. I praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Had Jesus not come, had the Father not sent him, had the Spirit of God not convicted our hearts, we would have forever been separated from the one who made our forefather in the Garden of Eden. But by the grace of God and by the new good news that's in Christ, we're justified before God by the faith of Christ. It is plain that by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified before God. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. John's been teaching in 1 John for a long time, teaching about having the new nature, Christ, dwell in our hearts and direct our lives. I thank God that I understand that. But I also thank God that the law taught me how great a sinner I was. No, the law taught me I was a sinner. It is not teaching me how great a sinner I am. Here I am, a child of God, saved by grace through faith, standing before you proclaiming the gospel. And every day I sin. How do I know I sin? Because I know from God's word what he defines as sin. And as I sin, I am convicted by the same statutes that God gave to Moses. But thanks be to God, the good news is this. I have an advocate with the Father. I have a lawyer standing before me in heaven before Almighty God. And every time I sin, when I go and confess my sin, I am completely forgiven. And forgetting those things that are behind, I now can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It teaches us how helpless and hopelessly lost we are and leads us to Christ. And afterward, it continues to show us how grateful we should be to Christ, because it is the cleansing instrument that in our walk of life, as we confess our sins, he daily forgives them. That's the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20, we are told, or 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what is revealed by the gospel? The righteousness of God which is in Jesus Christ. The fact that we do not possess this kind of righteousness, and that we must receive it to go to heaven. Christ is our only righteousness. He became our sin bearer that God might, one, place us in him on the cross, two, crucify us with him so that all our sins might be buried forever with him. And three, resurrect us eternally with his life. That is why we can stand justified before God solely by his righteousness. Christ is our only righteousness. And so when we talk about the righteousness that is revealed in the gospel, we're talking about something that God did that men saw, and now we can comprehend and understand it. Christ is our only righteousness. He became our sin bearer that God might, one, place us in him on the cross, two, crucify us with him so that all our sins might be buried with him, and three, resurrect us eternally with his life. This is why we can stand justified before God solely by his righteousness. These are two of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know that because I quote them so much. I am crucified with Christ, the words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ. I can say that. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I can say that. Nevertheless, I live. I've been born again. Yet not I. I can say that too. But Christ liveth in me. I can say that. He's alive in me. And he's the reason, the only reason, that I perform anything that's acceptable to God. I can say that with all my heart, for I know it's true. And I hope every one of you sitting here can say that Christ is alive in you. I hope every one of you can say, I'm trusting solely in Jesus, and he's the only hope I have. Now listen to what he says next. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If that man had not exhibited a perfect faith, if he had not obeyed his Father in every jot and tittle of the law, no flesh, no human, no soul could ever be spared, could ever be saved. And now when we receive Christ, we live our life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And then Paul in his mighty 21st verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But he is not dead in vain. He is alive. And he lives in the heart of every believer. And he was the revelation of all righteousness. And when men saw him walk upon this earth, and when they listened to him speak, and when he left us his word, he left us the living word of God, that he did not speak of himself, but the Father gave him the word. And when he died, he took our sins, and they are gone forever. And that is what is revealed in the gospel, the good news. And why more men and women, when they realize this, don't become faithful in God's church, when they have such a Savior and such a wonderful man and a living God who gave himself for them? Sometimes beyond my understanding and comprehension. 1 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath, God hath. It's all by God's power. For God hath, he hath, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why did God do this? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God stood and watched his Son bear our sins at Calvary. God withdrew himself, and Christ said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus bore our sins alone. And the Father suffered agony as he watched the Son die. And the Son suffered agony being separated from the Father. And there it was all settled, and Christ won the victory. And it was manifested forever that he alone is King of Kings, God of God, standing in heaven as the only one who can save us from our sins. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, but of him, of God, it was all his plan. Are ye in Christ Jesus? We are placed in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is placed in us by the very power of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the very Spirit of God places us in Christ, who of God, God did it all, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's all in Christ Jesus. It's revealed in Christ Jesus. There's no other way. It's not through your baptism. It's not through your good works. It's not through your church attendance. You ought to want to be baptized. You ought to want to serve God in his church because of what this man did, and because of the Father that sent him to do it, and the Spirit that convicts your soul, and you ought to be willing to surrender your life to him. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I cannot glory in anything else except Jesus. I cannot glory in anything I have ever done or ever will do. But I glory in the Lord, because all the spiritual attributes and things that are available to man must come from Almighty God, and it comes through Christ. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. He's of God. It's of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 2:2-5. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom, but in the power of God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the gospel is revealed all the marvelous things and wonder of God's promises. I wonder this morning if there might be someone here. You've been trying to save yourself. And you've been trusting in your good works, your baptism, something you can do or have done or shall do to justify you before God. Don't sit there like a bump on a log. Come trusting Jesus to save you. And let the Messiah who came and took your sins right now cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come trusting Jesus, and he'll take care of all the rest. Maybe you've been saved. I bow before God. And I tell you, what I've shown you is the truth. Now that you've seen that, and you've seen the man, it's been manifested. I've preached the gospel. Now you've seen it. If you're saved, then let your glory be in the Lord. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. If you're already saved, come and submit your will and your life to the Lord. And let your soul find the rest that comes after you're saved when you submit to the Lord. As Johnny comes,